You're listening to the Jesus Culture San Diego Message of the Week.
All right, so before we start, Lord, thank you. Thank you that today, I want you to say it out loud, I am breaking shame.
I am breaking shame.
It's not my identity. I'm leaving it behind in the fast.
I'm leaving it behind in the fast.
I didn't starve for nothing. Okay, now I want you to put your hands out. Holy Spirit, not by our thoughts, though they count, not by our soul, but that's how you made us, but as a gift, right now, I ask for every person here where there's any element of shame hiding that keeps you from your destiny. Any element of shame hiding that devalues you. We take authority over you. And I speak identity. I want you to see him putting identity into your hands. Fullness. Fullness right now. Fullness.
Yes.
Fullness. You are not empty-handed. You are not small. You are meant for great destiny that you are made for and will love. So I want you to see yourself accepting identity, vision, purpose. Ministering angels are here. The Holy Spirit is here, and it's going into your hands right now. It's going to take hold of your mind and your brain right now. It's going into your spirit and your heart right now. And your will is changing. Because the choices you make with him are empowered, full of life, and they are what you desire and what you're made for. So Holy Spirit, move right now past these words. Move spirit to spirit. Move heart to heart. You are praying inside every believer right now. So ignite your prayers. Shift them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go. Okay, Bob, let's go. Okay, I want to give you a picture of what you are made for. So right now, I want you to just picture in your mind somewhere outdoors that you love, where you feel invigorated. You feel alive. Can you see it? When you go there, it's your happy place. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm here. Okay. And we're going to keep that place intact as I'm speaking today, because that's the place where you're meant to live. Okay. Do you all have a place? Okay. Keep that place. Okay. In that place, there's no fear, there's no shame, there's no lack. It's actually a place that God has given you that has the most life in it. And when he takes you to that place, he's waiting for you and laughing like, that's our place. Okay, mine is Kauai. I just got back. I do a retreat by myself in January. And I talked my way into a hike, I can't say it. I was welcomed in by the grace of the person at the gate. And so they let me in because I told them, say that. But they did let me in. Okay. I can't even go into it because I'm supposed to say that. Okay. Anyway, by the grace of God, with that pass, I got in to this beach. That is where all my favorite memories are. I went there at 15 with my mom and dad. I went there on my honeymoon. I went there and taught each of my kids, as tiny toddlers, how to snorkel and swim. I got back in without a pass. And then I was only in a towel. I had a hat, flip-flops. I'd just been swimming another beach. And I was like, I'm so ill-equipped for this. I don't care. with flip-flops. I'm going up a steep, slippery path, and I'm laughing my head off. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. And it's like, you might not like this happy place. It's dirty. It's muddy. It smells pungent. There's like probably rotting fruit. Like there's, I don't know what the smell is, but it's kind of grossly, deliciously good. So I'm scampering late in the afternoon with my little flip-flops, and I get to this one lookout that I love. And I realized, like, the whole time, I could not stop saying, I could not stop saying this. If I tried, I could not stop. I'm hiking. Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you. You're so good. Thank you, God, thank you. And then I go a little farther than I probably should have gone with my flip-flops. And I zip around and I say to him, right now, your presence is so strong that I feel completely alive. And I will not settle for feeling anything less than this. And I don't have any idea how you're going to replicate this, but that's your job, not mine. Okay? This is what I'm talking about. You didn't fast for nothing. You fast so that something in you could return to a place with him. And you're like, ah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're so great. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is your Garden of Eden. Restored. Beautiful. Where you have been given permission. Because you are made in his image and you've been given the authority because you are created like him. And you ascribe to animals, you ascribe to your work, you ascribe to people, names, identity. You move them into who they are created to be. You take internal land by going inside, then it's with him, everything. It can't go away, it's eternal. All those memories, they're there. What you learned, what you gained is there. And then you're gonna give that out to the world in whatever fashion he's created you to do it. It looks different. Someone go on my hike, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's rotting fruit. Are you kidding me? Like, just keep going, it's a good view. Never mind, it's my place. Your place is your place. Your destiny is your destiny. Your call is your call. It is all uniquely crafted for what makes you come the most alive with him. So going back to Adam and Eve, what happened? Because see, we're not going to be, oh no. We're going to say, well, what got lost there? So let's talk about what got lost there. They are in that environment. They have everything God wants for them. They're soaking it up. They're one with him. It's every day. There's plentiful fruit. There's animals. They're discovering. They're exploring. They're inhabiting the land that he's given them. Well, who hates that? Okay, your sacred place, the enemy loathes. He is going to fight you tooth and nail. So today, we need to break off anything that keeps you from that place. So I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be surprised. It's his job. Teenagers, if they roll their eyes, it's their job. Don't be, oh, I'm also surprised that the enemy did all that. That's what he does. But I want us to be aware, like, where is he attaching to you? Why are you stuck? What happens to you that you agree with him in that place? Okay, let's look what the first people gave up. Which is your joy to take back. Okay, they're having a great time. They're hiking in Kauai. The enemy hates that. Are you kidding me? Watching you with God torments him. Makes him sick inside. He can't take it. It's like, I could have that space. I could have that space. So he's going to try to take that space. Every single way he can. All the time. Until you get wise to his ways. So this is what happens. He says to Eve, we know these, okay, don't act like the stories I'm going to tell you today. You know both the stories, but we're going to go fresh with them. Be fresh, okay. So The serpent says, oh, to the woman, is it true that God has forbidden you to eat fruits from the trees in the garden? Fruits, trees. He just multiplied it. He's just trying to diminish her life. You don't get any of that. No, no. She goes, well, no, serpent. God said we are to eat freely the fruit from the trees in the garden. We are granted. Okay, here's right here what you have before the fall. We are granted access to any variety and all amounts of fruit. Okay, he has given us access to discover, to see, to taste. He's good. What is the fruit of your life that he's bringing towards you? It's all good. It's all fantastic. It is all what's meant for me, except the fruit in the center of the garden. God instructed us not to touch or eat of that tree or we would die. There's not a whole heck of a lot of restriction in your life. Can we start with that? If there's restriction, he's saying it's not getting you where you're supposed to go. I'm only forbidding what is not going to make you feel fabulous, where we're not going to be intimate, where we're not going to grow. I'm forbidding that. And you don't even get it because it looks super appealing. So just know, if I'm saying no, there's something not good there. It's like, oh, wow, why do I want to eat that? That's not good. No, what does he say? Die. Oh my gosh, no, you're not going to die. That's absurd. God is playing games with you. The truth is that God knows the day you eat the fruit from that one singular tree, you will awaken. Okay, look at this. Something powerful in you. She's already powerful. She has all power that he's already ascribed to her, that word ascribed. She has all power. There's no lack of power. You don't get to give me power. Satan, you don't have power. You're lying to me. There's no extra power. The thing that's key is he's trying to make the power, the lie of power, separate from her identity and separate from God. I'm gonna take you over here. You already have oneness. No, no, I have a better way. There's something, I'm awakening something powerful in you and become like him, possessing knowledge of both good and evil. So the woman looks at it. She goes, oh my gosh, I want this wisdom, inspiring, powerful fruit. I'm going to say yes to it, apart to what God's already given me, apart to the sweetness, apart to the goodness that we have together. Okay, there's one truth in what he said. You will die. Now death comes. You will die to the fullness, the joy, the intimacy, the goodness. Ah, you just killed it. You both just decided to eat it, and you killed it. The other truth is this. Before, they had no knowledge of evil. Zero. They were not meant. We are not meant to inhabit, to be, receive evil. And the word evil is ra. And it has to do with every defiling, diminishing, painful health issue, sickness, viciousness. Everything that hurts your heart is evil. That's right. And then the word knowledge, the word knowledge is the most intimate word of knowledge you could imagine. It means I don't know, I experience who you are. I experience you as a person. I experience life with you. I experience every part of me now experiences whatever that is. It's also comes in the meaning of sexual intercourse. Ha. Huh. Wow. I've never experienced that inside. I've never felt those things. Oh, shame. humiliation. I want to hide from it. I want to push from it. I want to get it out. It's making me sick. I just want to get it out. That's what happened. That's what breaks God's heart. That's where he's saying, I cannot allow the preciousness of who you are to me to hold that, for that to become part of you, for that to seep into your brain at night, to experience all of those feelings of evil. That is not who we are together. That is not what I created for you. So we know after that, curses come because there's consequences. There is no Jesus yet, but he's coming, so don't worry, he's gonna come. Okay, second part, but now it's not. Okay, so the Lord looks at the woman, and we know he says it's gonna be painful, childbirth. Okay, we know that. But look at this, you will desire your husband, but rather than a companion, he will be a dominant partner. Now, okay, Bob, I desire you, just so we can get that straight. That's not part of a curse right there. It's not a normal desire. It is a need, a longing, a yearning. Like, I feel completely not myself. I have a neediness for you. And I've lost the person I would want to be with. I've lost the companion. Now it actually means that you dominate me, you rule over me, you have authority over me, but without love, without connection, without companionship. And I've lost my ability to take the ground. I have lost that authority that I had to partner with you to go do something beautiful. At the same time, instead of, I love to garden, instead of like tilling the soil and enjoying it, having the fullness, freshness of all that the earth has to offer, man now has to come and toil, sweat, brow. It says, and the ground will become cursed. Promises become cursed. What we are hoping for becomes cursed. Okay, how many of you would love a solution to that? Like, that was so flat. Okay, how many of you, I would like a verbal, please, would love a solution to that? Okay. Yeah, that feels like some of you might have been fasting, but that felt much better. Okay, here's what happens. Okay, so Jesus obviously comes. We all got that. Jesus culture, funny thing, that's what you're going to find here. Jesus came. Okay, but I want to take you through, because part of breaking shame is for us to really realize anything that's culturally familiar, old mindsets, the way you used to do it, apart from the freedom. See, every time God takes us to a new area, we're like, oh, wow, that's free. I didn't know I wasn't free till you showed me something new, something new. Now, we've gone after shame this last month, but this is a different kind of shame. This is a shame that makes you become small. It makes you devalued. It's a shame that comes from delay. The word is boosh, and it's like you've disappointed. It was delayed. I feel anxious. And one of the most interesting things it says about this word is that you're dry. You're just dry. You kept going without God. You just, I don't know, you're performing, you think it's good. Is this what he wants? Dry. So when we come into worship, we're like, our brain doesn't have to think. You're just like, God, I am worshiping you. I'm coming, I'm bringing everything to you. I'm not figuring out my problems. I'm not doing that. I am not dry. Now, what do you have to say to me? Yeah. So we're going to look at a story you know. So it's about a family that Jesus comes to do a much bigger thing than these four or five verses will show you. And when you know them, do not groan. I get it. You know this. This is not a surprise. Okay. But I want you to not think of this as women. I want you to think of this, what I'm going to go through is confinement. I want you to think of it as something that makes you small and not step into the vision, the fullness, the greatness, everything that God has for you as an individual. I want you to realize it's anything that is not thriving is under a curse. Even hard things, he's with us and showing us this is an obstacle because I'm taking you to where I want to go. Okay, so this family that this story is about, they're one that Jesus loves intimately. He adores them. They delight him. He goes to see them the week before he's crucified. He grows in such a relationship with them that the very first time that they're together, he ends up connecting with them. And the Lord says, you could go like anywhere. You're in a crowd of people. But what does he do? He always goes where the Father's leading him. And God goes, what about her? He goes, yeah, I feel that. Let's go there. So it's a woman who hears him speaking. She's like, wow, who is he? Because see, women, that's right, you didn't get to go to be with a teacher. You didn't get to be taught. You didn't get to have knowledge. You didn't get to have intimacy. That was for the men. So she hears him speaking. She's like, oh, who's that? Wow. Okay, she's chosen. So something in her spirit's like, I feel something I've not felt before. I feel compelled. I feel something in me wants more. I don't know how to get more. I don't know how to go there. How can I get more? And as you see him, you randomly, without planning, without figuring it out, you go, hey, do you want to come to my house for lunch? And he, you know, kind of listens. Sure, that's what we're doing. Yes, I would love to come to your house for lunch. Okay, it's not just Jesus. It's just not a couple friends. There's like at least 20 people show up to your house for lunch. Now, this isn't like we're not DoorDashing people. We're like, okay, you have to like wash the feet, offer drinks. You have to do like 8 million different things are supposed to happen if you're going to host. Oh, that's right. And as a woman, your identity is in that right there. If you can perform those rituals well, then they're like, oh, she's a righteous woman. We accept her. She performs well for us. We're eating her snacks. We have no problem with that. She's anxious. Fear hits. Okay, I want you to see how this systematically happens. Fear hits. Oh my gosh. Now she's looking for her help. Half the help is gone. She's like, okay, I could do 10. You could do 10. Okay, I have like at least 20. I'm washing. I'm figuring it out. I am fearful. I am anxious. Oh my gosh. I don't know why I had a really bad idea that I could do this because all I really wanted was another conversation with him. Right? Now shame comes. Because anytime you don't do what you perceive to be the right thing, okay, we're not talking, you guys, right now about breaking shame because all the sins you've done, that's fine. God's already got that. We're talking today about a different kind of shame. And the reason I'm talking to you about this today is because the Lord said they cannot take their ground and their authority and go where I have called them to go if they bow to any form of shame. Not one form of shame that tells you you don't belong, it's not enough, why did you think you could do that? We have to, like today, God was like, I am here with grace to remove all forms of shame that keep you from your identity, okay? So right now, Martha is in a shame fest. She doesn't know there's another way. She is humiliated. She sneaks over and she peeks in like, oh my gosh, how bad is it? How many? What could I do? Okay, she looks in. Are you kidding me? My little punky sister, I am working my butt off. And you are just hanging out with the one guy I want to talk to. It was my idea. I invited him. I am slaving away and little sister's always doing whatever she wants. Oh yeah, there you are. Okay, do you know, little sister, you're actually not supposed to be in that room. Women aren't allowed. I have triple shame. Wow. I'm humiliated. Everyone will know. You as a woman cannot receive discipleship. You cannot receive learning from a rabbi. You cannot take what you have learned to someone else. That is not what you're relegated to, because we still have the curse that says everything about your life is confined. So right now, actually, I'm not talking about a women's issue, though I am. I'm talking about anywhere in your life where the doors are smashing in on you and you are confined. And you are smashed. And you can tell there's something in my identity that's trying to break out, but I don't know how to get there. I have no idea. And I'm terrified, because every good dream will include the elements of fear and shame and control. This is what happens. This is normal. So what happens is anytime you feel that, you go, oh, maybe it wasn't for me. Like, because I feel really little and shameful. Okay, maybe they won't notice me, even though I'm still speaking. If I hide behind, what is this, the cartoon tree? Like, you would still see me, okay? She can't take it. And I'm really glad she can't take it. She's like, I can't do this. Somewhere I have scriptures that go with this, which would be really nice. I think they're farther down. I moved some things around. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I have no shame. Okay, right here. Okay, so it says, not only was Martha distracted, that's a key word. She was distracted with much serving. She came up to him and she said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister, she interrupts him. That's the biggest shame fest right there. That my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me, okay, listen to this, to lend a hand and do her part along with me. This is key right there. The Lord replied by saying, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and troubled about many things, but really, only one thing matters. Mary has chosen the one thing, and I will not take it away from her. Another translation says, Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage. Distracted. We get distracted. There's things we know where we're going here, and we get distracted. You know where you want to be is at his feet. You also have a life. So you have to be a Mary-Martha combo. I'm sorry. Yeah. Brother Lawrence says, you know, whether I'm cooking food and washing dishes or I'm in his presence, it's all the same. Yeah. What he's showing us is I want to go with you, and wherever your hands go and wherever I tell your hands to go and serve and what they're going to do and be productive, I'm with you. See, what happened was Martha felt left out. She felt alone. I can't be part of. Women don't have that jurisdiction. And in that place, God said, no, Jesus, today, break the curse. Today, invite her in. Today, say, no. Your sister is not going back into that kitchen. And I didn't just come for Mary. I actually responded to you, Martha, because I know how all you do is work and serve and have such a smashed life. And I want you to know the loneliness you feel, the desperation, the wanting something that's not disappointing, not delayed, not alone, like a purpose. You were created, Martha, for that purpose, to be one with me, to take the ground together and to know what you are made for. So in that moment, it wasn't like a rebuke to Martha, but she didn't know another way in. I have fear, I have anxiety, I'm moving into what feels like control. She tells Jesus, she doesn't ask, Jesus, right now, You rebuke Mary. Send her back in there and tell her to work her with me. Right? Okay, well, no, you can't get rid of a spirit of control with control. He's actually coming because the spirit of control has ruled women from the curse on. You will be controlled by your husband. If he wants to divorce you, that's fine. If he doesn't like you, that's fine. You don't have a voice, you don't have domain. And so his mercy to her is, I won't use that spirit of control. And I won't make her go back in. But I'm actually not going to allow you to go back in either. He is opening up a realm that culturally was so not allowed. And he's saying to her, oh, I've been waiting for this time to free you up from the shackles. I have been waiting. And I actually really love it when you all come with needs. I would have had no problem if you would have blurted in. Like, hey, it's chaotic and out of control. I'm a loser. And I told you I could do it. I can't do it because I think I'm performing for Jesus and you didn't even ask for this. You don't even want this food. You're not even hungry. You're not thirsty. Did you really want an extra this or that? We do this all the time. And then we're exhausted. We're frustrated. Do you know what? I have never, I don't know, you guys probably better than me, I've never been able to give Jesus a surprise party. We need to ask him, what do you want? What do you want? I'm trying so hard to respond in my heart of love for you, doing what I think you want, but I don't know what you want. And I need to know what you want. Oh, that's right. I need to tell you right now, I thought I knew what you wanted. So I started doing this stuff. I'm exhausted. I'm fearful. I'm a loser. I feel shame. I feel really little. Jesus, I'm sorry. Oh, your friends are hungry. Mary's not helping me, so I'm kind of mad at her too. Like, I'm sorry. Oh, I can partner with that. You're right. I want to come into your fear. I want to come into your anxiety. I want to come into your shame. I want to come into every area that seeks to define you from the tree of good and evil. Because in my realm, there is only a tree of life. I'm going to give you a couple fast, practical steps. We're going to go into a slide. This is fantastic. Okay, are you ready? Because you guys, I don't want you to not slay this today. I had a different message. I kind of really wanted to give it. But God's like, no, there's still shame. There's shame where the enemy's the last vestige, like an octopus with arms everywhere. Get this way, that way. Oh, shoot. I didn't get to get them by the deep sin because they confessed it to me and then they told their friend. We slayed that. Oh, leper. Well, they're all, okay, unclean. They didn't have a problem with that. Every message has brought you in to deep, deep levels. And we accept that. That's part of life. But there is an element of shame, of devaluing, where it will keep you small from where you're going. Anytime you feel small, oh, I think, I'm not even familiar. Is that shame? Yeah, it's shame. So you keep having dialogue, discussion. Keep taking your heart to him. Hey, I think I know. Yes, you're right. Let me get rid of that. Okay, there is a triangle. It's fear, shame, and control. Your true identity's in the middle. And notice it doesn't have access, but it can't talk to you until you tell it to be quiet. Okay, I'm saying that again. It's not in your identity, but it's going to be chatting it up. You expect, like your teenager, That when you're taking new ground, chatting, obstacles. No. Oh, you're arrogant. Just, I don't know. Can you find something like that in the Bible that says you're presumptuous? No. It says God's called you one with him. Your identity is one with him. Your power is one with him. I kind of want to make him look good. I want him to look good in me. I want to know that that's our partnership, that it's not what I can do. I could say these same words. Only the Holy Spirit can do what he's going to do inside of you. And that's what I'm relying on. That's what I'm calling out within you. Okay, so your fear. What is fear? It's danger and loss. Pretty much those are the biggest things that are going to hit you. Enemy brings in fear, either from my choices or others. It makes me feel what? Unsafe. Not protected, not secure. The fear says, I will get hurt. I will get hurt. Don't do it. People will reject me. I don't know. Do you hate me because I said that word? I don't think so. I want to say it again, but I'm not going to right now. I will be humiliated. I will lose everything. 100%, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, yeah, I know, you can't. That's not the question. We're looking for his invitation. We're looking for what he can do. What can he do? What can he do? What's he asking you into do? I won't be able to complete what I started, the big one. I will probably fail. I'll fail. She's a failure. Well, that's a step of learning to the next thing. I gained stuff from it. I did what he asked me to. As long as we do what he's asked us to do, we win. We 1,000,000% win. And you can pull out whatever the win was that you learned, courage, strength, trust. Okay, wow. Relying on him more, that's fantastic. Okay, that went this far, but this part wasn't meant for you, but you gained ground. You're getting rid of fear. Okay, shame. How is shame? You know it when I say it. No one even likes that word. It's like moist. Like, ooh, shame. Okay, I feel small. I feel devalued. I feel embarrassed. Oh my gosh, I feel so embarrassed. I thought I could do that. I'm embarrassed. We hate those feelings. It is the core of your identity, and it says you are not enough. You are less than, you don't belong. You see me vulnerable and naked with flaws. I don't have enough. I have no talent. I experience lack. The worst one is I feel the void. Shame makes you feel a void, that there's something missing, but you're not exactly sure what it is. Okay, control, we've gone over that. The tension of fear and shame will bring me into control. Unless I process through those, unless I talk to God about them, I start to release those into God, it just does. That's what you do. You control. You're like, I need to now step in and try to figure out a way that this big fail does not happen, and I don't actually trust that God's going to show up or anyone else, so I'm strategizing with my limited thinking every single way that I think it could not end up a disaster. As we go into this slide, I want you again to know it's so normal. It means you're human to feel a gap. We are actually intended for a gap. We are intended from where we are presently, and then to see where God is inviting us into, to go, I can't get there. It was natural for Jimmy and Gina and Stevie when God said, you're going to purchase a garment factory in Romania, which we're all going to, and you don't have the finances, you don't know how to do 2 campuses in different countries, you're going to go through COVID, who's allowed and not allowed. There is a huge gap. And the beauty of the gap is that what it's really doing is it's inviting us into him. We celebrate your weakness. I have no idea. How is this going to happen? You connect with people that have great wisdom, faith, and will take risks. You don't go small where they keep you in shame, comfortability. Okay, no one here is made for shame, comfortability. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's why you're here, because you're breaking through to what you are called to do. And that gap should be there. That does not mean the feelings you have are not feelings, but it means we take them to Him and we allow Him to move our mind, the arguments, our feelings, and our emotions deep into what He will do. You want to live a life about what He will do. You want to have testimonies. I couldn't believe it. I was here and He did this and He did that and He met me this way and He got rid of that and then He did this. And then I knew a new part of Him because He did it. And I can't believe I got to know Him in this new way. And what I gained from Him meeting me every step of the gap. Here we are. Wow, this I'm going to take all day long. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, child of God in the center. I am in the center of His affection. I am in the center of His will. I am in the center of His thoughts. I am in the center of His power. When Jesus did what the Father did, it didn't mean it was diminishing or small. It was the opposite. The Father said, I'm taking everything in the universe right now, and I'm backing you up to move. And I'm going to show you who I am in you. This is key. This is where we're called to go. This is who we're meant to be. Okay, so fear. What do I take with my fear? I'm processing through God. I feel fear. I feel fear. Right? Who takes that place? The Father. The Father takes you in the middle of your fear. What do you need when fear comes up? I need protection and I need provision. I need to know I'm safe, and I know that you're going to give me what I need to get there. You're going to provide for me like a good father. You're going to protect me like a good father. I need the Father in the middle of this place. It's liminal. You're moving to something new. I need to see, what are you doing? What exactly are you doing? What's my part in it? I believe you. You're telling me that. I have to keep asking you that. Is that what we're doing? That's what we're doing. Okay. You're a good father. You're leading me into it. I need assurance of your plan. You need to keep telling me, prophesy, people, come together. This is the plan. This is where we're going. This is what you're called to. Shame, I need Jesus. It is a core identity change with who you are in Him. It is every time something tries to make you small, you say, Jesus, you're one with me and you are not small. Every time something tries to devalue you, in His word, He says, I cannot, we, be devalued. You tell shame, no, I feel it. Jesus, meet me in what I feel. Release me from that. Free me up. What are you giving me in that place? Switch it, Lord, switch it. And the last, control. This one's so easy. It's the Holy Spirit. You don't need to try to make it happen because I'm doing it for you. I'm empowering you. I've got everything. It's His job to sustain us. It's His job to give us innovation. It is His job to pray in us, for us, and through us for what's going to happen. So Lord, I ask that each of these areas where we have struggled, that we embrace the humanity and the heart and the mind and the relationship You've given us. I ask, Lord, right now, I take authority over shame, fear, anxiety, and control. I take it by the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And I say no more, no longer. You will not crumble to shame. You're not made to know shame. Jesus came, he took it on the cross, and he forced the enemy to bow in a parade. Every belittling assignment and attack the enemy tries to put your way, those demonic forces had to parade themselves in front of the cross, in front of the blood, and they had to bow to the name of Jesus. And they had to look at him and recognize what he did for them. He took them out and he released the power of choice. He released the beauty of who Jesus was resurrected after the cross. He brought us into oneness with the Father that we could say, you provide, you protect, you are a good Father. And then after he paraded the enemy that whispers to you all day long, he said, no more. No more. Don't go small. Don't limit what I want to do. Because the world needs to see who I am, who I made you in my image to be. It is a requirement. I'm going to say to this group of people, it is a requirement as a child of God to not allow yourself to hold back. It is a requirement of the blood of the cross that was shed so those whispering voices would have to bow for them to be silenced. It is a requirement that you open up your heart and you say, you are a good Father. I don't even know what that is. I've not experienced a good Father. And yet, you tell me that's who you are. And so I will stop and I will open and I will ask you to come in and help me and speak to me and free me and teach me what it is like to live a life that is not under the burden and accusation and misery of shame and fear. I will ask you, Holy Spirit, let me trust you. Help me to trust you. Give me your spirit that has complete trust and confidence in who we are together. Give me your voice that will speak to me. I'm loved. I am received. I am accepted. I am righteous through the blood of Christ. I have a call. There is meaning. I will not shrink back because you have already done it for me. I'm sorry, God, where we live a small life because we're too afraid to listen to your voice of what you're calling us into. We release it now, Lord. We release your grace. We release your mercy. We release your ability. We release you.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Culture San Diego Message of the Week. For more information on our church, visit jcsandiego.com.